Good morning and welcome to Start the Week, a ministry of Salem Reformed Church, Ashley, North Dakota. I am James Grossman, pastor of Salem Reformed, and I would like to thank you for joining us this morning. As we come to God's Word this morning, we return to our series from John. We look at John 19, verses 1 through 16. So let us read together the Word of the Almighty God. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe, and they said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold, the man!" Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him. I find no fault in him." And the Jews said to him, "We have a law, and according to our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard these things, he was the more afraid, and went again into the praetorium, and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you, and power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold, your king." But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. Then they took Jesus and led him away. Thus far the reading of the word of our God. May he add his blessing to it. As we open God's word this morning, we see our Savior on his road to the cross. We see him judged before Pilate. And again we see Pilate calling him and judging him innocent. And yet at the end of the passage, he continues to send him on his way to the cross. Not because of anything in Jesus, but indeed because of our sins, Christ was sent to the cross. And so, as we look at this passage of God's Word, what must strike us is that Christ, on the road to the cross, displays his innocence for all to see. That's the theme that we want to see this morning. Christ, on the road to the cross, displays his innocence for all to see. First of all, in verses 1 through 5, we see the King of the Jews declared innocent. Second of all, we look at our innocent Savior condemned to death. And third, then, in verses 12 through 16, we see the crowd crying out, "We have no king but Caesar," when Christ is indeed the King of the earth, the King of kings. And so, first of all, we see the King of the Jews declared innocent in verses 1 through 5. Christ, on the road to the cross, displays his innocence for all to see. Now, he's beaten. We read in verse 1, "So then Pilate took him and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and put on him a purple robe, and they said, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they struck him with their hands." Our Savior is beaten and as an attempt to pacify this crowd against him. We look at Mark 15, verse 15, "So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him. Be crucified." This is part of gratifying the crowd. And yet, our Savior, the King of Kings, he who is innocent, the only innocent man in the history of the world, is delivered to the cross. Jesus had never lied. He had never even sinned. Yet he was condemned as a sinner in our place. Isaiah 53, verse 9, "And he made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth." Again, we read in 1 Peter 2, verse 22 through 24, "Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return, who, when he suffered, did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. This is our Savior, our innocent Savior, the King of the Jews, declared innocent. And he brings him out with this purple robe on. We read in verse 5, then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, behold, the man. Wearing a mocking royal robe stands our most glorious King, the King of Kings. Our innocent Savior then is condemned to death. We see a mob rule going on here. Therefore, when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Our Savior, whom Pilate has already said a number of times is innocent, is cried out that he should be crucified. Acts 3, verse 13. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. This mob stands crying, crucify him, crucify him. They say, well, he made himself God. Verse 7, the Jews answered him, we have a law. According to our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. He made himself God. John 5, verse 18. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. He made himself God. They could not believe that he truly is God of gods and Lord of lords. Our original sin is this idea of making ourselves God. Genesis 3, verse 5. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, Satan says, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Satan's promise to Eve and to Adam was that they would be like God, making gods out of ourselves. We continue in this sin. Romans 1 tells us, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Remember, it is so easy for us to trust in ourselves, to hope in ourselves, to rely upon ourselves, instead of relying upon the only Savior, the only God, Jesus Christ. And so our innocent Savior is condemned for making himself God when he is truly God. Now, Jesus upbraids Pilate about his power. Pilate says to him, when Jesus is silent, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? Jesus answered, you could have no power against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. He who delivered Christ to Pilate has the greater sin. We already read that, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate in Acts 3:13. Pilate has no power except that which is given to him. And all power, we must understand, Acts 2:23, all power is from above. God is in control of this matter. Yet, Pilate's actions are sin. We must understand that. The one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. Despite the fact that they have the greater sin, Pilate's actions are certainly sin. The power from the above is from God. He has the power to commit sin. And yet in that sin, he is rebelling against God. And so are those who have sent Christ up. Those who cry out, crucify him, crucify him. We must understand that we do not accept ourselves from that fact, because it is for our sins that Christ was crucified. It is in our place that Christ was crucified. And so as we look at this passage, we must not just see it in some way abstracted from us. It is because of us. It is for our sake that Christ is crucified, that he pays that debt so that we might have life. The people who had seen, who had benefited from Christ's miracles, are now calling for his crucifixion. Now, Pilate had not been so benefited. Therefore, their sin was the greater. And yet, certainly, we must understand that our sin, innocent Savior is condemned to death by this ruler. And they cry out, "We have no king but Caesar." Jesus, our Savior, is rejected. We remember Isaiah 53, verse 3. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. The Jews, who were always fighting for their own nationhood, were willing to give that up, that idea of Israel, instead of following the Savior, instead of following Jesus the Christ. We have no king but Caesar. Instead, our cry must be, we have no king but Christ. Authority comes from God. Christ has won the victory over sin. No one deserves the honor and the love that Jesus deserves. And so while Christ is rejected, we see the horror of he who came, the God, the Son of God, who came to this earth. He came to his own, and his own rejected him. We have no king but Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard the saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down at the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Golgotha. And he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." They reject the Savior. They condemn the Savior. They send him to the cross because of their desire, because of their misunderstanding of what it means to truly have the God of gods and the Lord of lords. They wanted the Savior of their own ideas, not the Savior that we need, the Savior of Scripture. Pilate here attempts one more time to release him, and yet the mob gets its way. The condemnation as well is from Pilate the judge. Indeed, a miscarriage of justice. Christ is condemned in our place to pay for our sins. Who put the Savior on the cross? I did, because of my sins. And so all who believe on Jesus Christ put him on the cross. And yet it is because of God's mercy, because of God's love, that he sent his Son to save us, to pay the penalty that we deserve to pay, to take that cursed cross to death. We read in Galatians 3, verse 3, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree.'" Our Savior here on the road to the cross, innocent, perfectly innocent of any sin, the God of gods, and yet he gives his life. Notice the power that Pilate has, Christ gave to him. Christ, who goes to the cross here, displays his innocence for all to see, so that we might know that he who is innocent took our sins upon himself, so that we might have eternal life in him. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning on Start the Week. We are giving away free copies of the Heidelberg Catechism, a summary of the scriptural doctrine of sin, salvation, and thankfulness, including an explanation of the Apostles' Creed, the Ten Commandments, and the Lord's Prayer. For your copy, please call 701-288-3265 or mail at Salem Reformed Church, Post Office Box 345, Ashley, North Dakota, 58413, and we will be glad to send it to you. If you have any questions concerning the Bible or in general, or about anything we cover on Start the Week, please contact us. We invite you to join us at the Salem Reformed Church in Ashley, North Dakota, at 209 First Avenue Southwest. If Ashley is too far away, we have churches of the Reformed Church in the United States, in Minot and Anamosa, North Dakota, Aberdeen, Eureka, Harriet, Hosmer, Pier, Watertown, Menno, Mitchell, Rapid City, Sioux Falls, and Vermilion in South Dakota, and in Hamburg and Golden Valley in Minnesota. We would like to invite those in Jamestown, North Dakota area to Bible studies being held at the Gladstone Inn and Suites. That's just north of downtown Jamestown at 111 2nd Street Northeast. These will be on Sunday evenings at 6:30 p.m. beginning on the 10th of January. Again, if you have any questions, that number is 701-288-3265. Well, that's all the time we have this week. We at Salem Reformed Church wish you the joy of knowing God this week and forever.